Classic Business, Wealth and Investment.
Well, I tweeted to Helen Ziller last week that she should look at the Section 12J as a perfectly legal and really beneficial way to register a tax revolt of sorts after Lister Mainchies mentioned it to me. And she subsequently used the idea as a subject for her column this week. But what I found talking to her is that while Section 12J is certainly not a new asset class anymore, there does seem to still be a lack of understanding around it. So I've invited Jonty Usher, the founder member of the Section 12J Association of South Africa and fund manager at Westbrook Alternative Asset Management, which is the country's largest Section 12J manager, to share a little bit more and educate us about Section 12J. Jonty, how are you doing?
Good evening, Michael, and to all your listeners.
How exactly does the tax deduction work? Give me a practical example of how Section 12J allows you to pay less tax.
So Section 12J is an incentive in the Income Tax Act, and basically what it says is if an investor invests in a Section 12J company by subscribing for shares, that investment amount in the tax year that they invest can be deducted from taxable income. So essentially, if you invest 100 Rand in a 12J company and you pay tax at 45%, you're shielding 45% of tax.
What are the potential risks here for investors? Because it is a highly illiquid investment. If a retail investor approaches you, what are the usual risks that you sketch out for them that they really need to be aware of?
Yeah, so Section 12J, in order to qualify for your investment not to have a recoupment, is you've got to hold the shares for 5 years, which in its very nature is a long-term investment and therefore comes with risk for the investor. But further to that, you're buying shares in an unlisted 12J company that generally these shares don't have a secondary market. So you also need to understand who you're investing with. A reputable, experienced asset manager or investment manager is key, as well as what they're investing in, the types of assets that they're investing in, and how they're going to create liquidity or exit these assets after the five-year period to ensure you get your liquidity when needed.
Because they aren't all created equal. They're Section 12J companies of different objectives, different strategies, different methodologies. So you really, as an investor, need to sit down and ensure that you're comfortable with all of those.
Yes, exactly. With any type of investment, 12J does give you the attractive tax break, but you also need to look at what you're investing in at the underlying, because you are providing capital into an investment and you want to earn a return on that. And there's 12Js out there doing different things. So I think it's important to understand who you're investing your money with and where they're investing it and what risk profile you're taking on when you choose your 12J investment.
And if we were to filter out those that are credible in the market, obviously you're looking for ones with licensed and registered with the FSB or the FSCA, for example, and SAVCA as well, I believe, provides a registration.
Yes, so in order to qualify to be a 12J company, the company has to register with the FSB and get a SARS venture capital license. But then there are other types of compliance requirements that you can put in place to further protect the investor, like an independent board of directors, investing with an experienced manager who's managed third-party capital before, being part of associations like SAVCA, where there's reputable partners alongside of you.
And in terms of the cap, how much you can invest, I suppose it doesn't really, if you've got your full salary, your annual salary as an amount to invest, there's no real benefit, tax benefit of going above that.
Yeah, so it's exactly. There's no legislated cap in the amount you can invest in a 12J company, but there's a practical limit of the taxable income that you have in that year. So you wouldn't look to overinvest above what your taxable income is.
And on fees, you know, like any other professional investment company, they charge fees for their services. What is the averaged fee that one is looking at in the market, so one at least has a base level from which to work off?
So yeah, this varies across asset manager. I think some asset managers out there charge upfront fees. There's also an annual management fee, ranges from 1.5% to call it 3%. And then there's a performance incentive for meeting the requirements of your targeted return profile.
Well, that's all the time we have for, I'm afraid.